You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh,
it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's weekend encounter with Worcester City.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as hearing how FC got on in their match with Worcester City, later in the show we'll also be hearing from the Sporting Memories Network to hear all about their new partnership with FC United. But before all of that, it's now time for this week's club news. It was a disappointing Tuesday evening for FC in the week as FC United travelled to Moor Lane on Tuesday night to take on Salford City in the league, with the match finishing 1-0 to Salford, a result which saw FC drop to 12th. It was also a tricky week for FC United's reserves too, as they got their league campaign underway at Bucks and Silverlands on Friday night with a 2-1 defeat. In other news, tickets for FC's home match versus Darlington on Bank Holiday Monday are now on sale to all FC United members and season ticket holders, who can now buy up to 4 tickets online, by phone or in person at Broadhurst Park. Non-members can also buy 4 tickets, but only in person from the club office. And finally, the next meeting for the East Manchester branch of FC United will take place on Monday the 22nd of August at 7:30pm at the Fitzroy Social Club in Droylsden. All are welcome, so for more information, please email fcumeastmcr@yahoo.com or follow the branch on Twitter. That's at fcumeastmcr. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United hosted Worcester City at Broadhurst Park. Very shortly, we'll be hearing how FC got on, but before kick-off, Ben caught up with Stephen Wood to hear his views going into this one.
So welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park. You join us here Saturday afternoon, it's 2:25. New Order is playing out over the tannoy, and joining me now is Stephen Wood. Hello Stephen, how are you?
I'm very good, you confused me there. I thought we were live.
No.
Give me a time check. Anyway, good. Yes, I'm very good, thank you.
So it's been quite an interesting week at FC. We had the performance last week in Stockport County, arguably one of the finest performances in FC's ever given, I thought, certainly in the top 10.
Okay.
And then the tired performance against Salford, and I described it as tired because I think it might have been. What do you think?
Yeah, possibly. I think, let me take the Stockport game first. It was a bit of a weird game because they had a hell of a lot of the ball, I thought, and didn't create, I think, at the post off one mistake. I don't think Dave had a save to make the rest of the game. Nothing major, I recall.
I can't remember that many saves he had to make.
But whereas at the other end, I mean, we scored the two. We hit the bar where, I mean, if Sam Sheridan misses it rolls in. He hit it. It's one of them where he hit it far too well, and it smashed it against the bar. And then obviously, pulled off that world class save against Jerome.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we played really well. It wasn't so much a flowing game of football, although we did our moments. I think, like I said, it was just one of them performances that we put in every so often where you just don't think we've got. At some point in the game, you click and think, you know what, we're not going to lose this game.
I described it on the radio at the time as like a cup performance kind of thing,
yeah,
where we're playing a team another division,
yeah,
and when we're there, rah, in your face, especially, yeah, with the free midfield. That didn't translate at all to Moor Lane on Tuesday. And to be fair, With the nice summer's evening, it was a bit of a carnival atmosphere. Everyone was being jovial with one another, and it was nice. Apart from one Dumpty jumping the fence, obviously.
I missed that. I was leaving at the time.
It was a nice, pleasurable evening in Kersal, but on the pitch,
such a thing,
not so good.
I don't think it was that bad. However, I do think if we'd have been two things, if we'd have been playing till now, we probably wouldn't have scored. So that may tell its own story. And I'm not convinced that Salford were particularly at their probably majestic best that they can play.
Yes.
Which in itself is frustrating because you can think to yourself, actually, they were there for the taking and we didn't quite do it. I don't think we were horrendous.
No, we were just
before. I mean, we've said before, and you know, it's lucky moments or a bit of, you know, just 30 seconds before they scored, we had one kicked off the line off a corner. It breaks out and they were dangerous on the break. We know that they've got, you know.
It was a cracking counter attack.
It was brilliant. I mean, I was stood almost like sort of where the corner that it came into. I was on that angle, and it's one of them. As soon as he hits it, you know there's only one place it's going. It's going in the bottom corner. It was a great goal. To be honest with you, looking at the results so far, take them in as a collective, 5 points out of 12. Would you retain that? I think we probably would. Just about, you know.
Are we doing better? We've been talking all the way through pre-season and into this season. Would you have taken that a month ago?
A draw,
especially with the teams we're playing. Remember the teams we're playing. It's
we're playing Charlie.
Going to be the difficult four matches of the season.
I think so.
And Charlie away, Telford, Stockport County, and Salford away.
And to lose one,
yeah,
I think is a positive. Should we have at least 2 more points out of that? I think we should be beating Telford here. I mean, I know we do. We've struggled to manage it in the past. I know that, but I think on the night we didn't play particularly well again. They were no great shake. But again, you see, I'm going to contradict myself slightly here, but look at the Stockport game. And we've said it on commentary, and I've said it to you on these podcasts and whatever before. When teams are footballing teams, or the better team, shall we say, in inverted commas, we play better. They let us play.
I had that question lined
there
up.
There you are, you see. Whereas when we play a team like Telford,
like Worcester,
like I was just about to say, like possibly today, where we sort of, and I've said it to my interviews I used to with Marzia, and we're going back to the Evo Stick days of rush all games. We get brought down to the same level. So they're saying, let's just keep playing our game and we'll actually out-football these teams. But we can't do, let's be honest. We tend to get into a pointless battle that, in this league, 9 times out of 10, we lose the battle. And if we lose the battle, we don't win the game.
And the biggest example of that was actually Worcester City at home last season, where...
Worcester away, the first game of the season.
That as well. Yeah. That was Gloucester.
Oh, it was Gloucester. I was getting confused. Though. Well, Worcester away was that horrendous nil-nil thing.
It was Kidderminster, wasn't it?
Yeah, that horrendous nil-nil thing, yeah.
But anyway, the whole match Lee Hughes scored that cracking goal, then got sent off, and then we think, oh, we're in this. And then with 10 men, they go on this amazing counter-attack down this left-hand side and score this amazing goal. And it's... That game was for the taking. If we're going to finish mid-table upwards, which I think is the aim this season at least, then we need to be beating Worcester City. No disrespect to Worcester City.
We need to be beating Telford at home especially. So I agree. Going back to your point, looking at the fixture, you think they're quite tough. Would we settle for losing one out of the four? Yes, is the answer to that. I would. Charlie can go either way. They're a similar side to us. They finished higher than us last year, but I don't think they're much better than us, if I'm being honest.
They had a good result midweek, though, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, and that's the league, although. I mean, yeah, but look at the league. I mean, you've had Curzon got battered at home on the first day of the season.
And Brackley beat Kidderminster the next day, yes.
And then you got Altrincham getting beaten 6-1 at home on Tuesday. It's just bizarre, to be honest with you.
How have you found the league this season? I mean, the league leaders have got 8 points. We're one win away from Halifax, and we're in 12th. It's too early to say where we are in the league, and it's too early to say where the league actually is, other than somewhere north of Watford.
But unless you're Brackley, so I think it's somewhere slightly south, I think. But anyway,
true. But we've got obviously got Worcester today, and then there's a rare thing. There's no midweek game for FC.
That's right.
And then it's away at Brackley next week, and these are two fixtures, which you would say these are the games where FC. Last season, certainly.
I was going to say, what, like
not,
last season? Yes.
Did not
yes.
turn up.
Correct.
And Brackley away was, I think, what arguably one of the worst. We spoke about Stockport being in the top 10. Brackley certainly might be in the top 10 worst FC performances of all time, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, I mean, Brackley away, we had a heart attack after about 10 minutes, and then nothing else after that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a tough week coming up for FC. And we've got. This is going to suggest where we are in this league, whether we are going to finish 11th. higher or 11th lower?
Well, very good, Brucey. Yeah, Thank you. Good game. I think you're right. I mean, I'm just going to labour the point we said earlier, and the worrying thing about that is to go to the point of potentially two games where we're not necessarily going to play against footballing sides, and you think, I fear the worst. Plus points we can take out of this, just to move this on a little bit. I may be preempting more questions. It's some of the performances from these young lads to put on. I mean, Nathan Lowshot, he's done well when he's come on. Obviously, Gilchrist got a start on Tuesday. I thought he did okay. I mean, he had the one chance where he probably should have done better, but he was right in front of me. It's all right foot. If he had a left foot, he probably would have scored. The fact that he had to turn his body around and then scooped it over the bar. But, you know, he's got a pedigree at a young level. You know, score a hat-trick at Old Trafford in the Youth Cup against United, at that level is some going. So, you know, obviously we've not seen much of Kieran Glynn yet. I think he's a bit light at the moment.
Were you surprised that Jason Gilchrist managed the whole 90 minutes against Salford without being changed in a way?
I think you've got to give lads a chance, and, you know, it's probably what
it seems to me, though, that as predicted, really, the team, the FC United team, the strongest team, is the team that pretty much was brought in January, February time last season, and the players we brought in, the trialists and so on and so forth, who come in over the summer, those are the ones who are going to try and work their way in and gradually get in, like Nathan Lowe just turning up against Stockport and making the Coventry team look like idiots, and Gilchrist and obviously Kieran Glynn set the world alight when he came on in the friendlies.
Jay Williams looks alright as well. He does. Fullback, so he does. Yeah. I think you're right, Ben. I think we could possibly make a case for one of those to be a regular. I think I'd like to see Nathan Lowe in midfield somewhere, accommodated somewhere.
Can't have a four-man midfield. Well, stay. It's not going to work.
not in the formation we play. No, I'll give you that. I'd like to see him because I think he brings. I mean, the shot against Stockport, you know, it was on, and he had the confidence to hit it. You know, I mean, I was stood back. I wasn't in my usual seat. I saw it from the back here, and I had a perfect angle. And the way he just smacked it. He absolutely let, you know, and
I wonder if we could ever play a 3-6-1 formation, whether that would work. Anyway, Stephen Wood, thank you for coming on This Club Is My Club.
That's okay.
Much appreciated, and we'll probably hear from you at the Blackley match.
That's
well,
good.
Thanks, Stephen. I'll
no
speak
problem.
To you soon.
Always Take a care. Pleasure, never a chore.
To the football itself now, and with FC United looking to bounce back following their midweek defeat against Salford City, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willers for a Worcester City match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. Both honours and points were split on Saturday afternoon as FC aimed to bounce back from their Tuesday night loss to Salford. A goal each in the first half, Dale Johnson taking the lead for FC on 70 minutes, which was cancelled out by Colby Bishop on 31 minutes for the visitors. After the break, neither side could take advantage and find the net again, so that's how it finished. 1-1. Here's the FC live commentary team.
Still 0-0, ball back with Eckersley. Eckersley now. 16 minutes gone here at Broadhurst Park, 0-0 here on FCM Radio, FC United against Worcester City. Ashworth plays the ball forward, good ball to Thompson. Thompson plays the ball through to Johnson. Johnson's through, 1-on-1, shoots, goal! And that's what we're talking about, just simple play, the ball from Asher to Thompson. Thompson turns, plays a lovely through ball to Dale Johnson. Dale Johnson's 1-on-1 and slots it home. 17 minutes gone here, 1-0 Paul.
And that's where the high line caught them out. The good through ball absolutely ripped them to bits. Dale Johnson there had the time, he had a bit of space, bit of time, bit of composure, but the centre-back couldn't get to him quickly enough, and he managed to hammer it low past the keeper. Good finish, good pass, good finish.
So that's what we're talking about, that high line there. If you could just find the right ball, then we'd be on, and right there. And Dale Johnson, cool as you like.
Very, very astute pass by Thompson as well, we have to say, definitely.
1-0 to FC. A Dale Johnson goal separating the two sides. Ball played into the box where Bishop is. He holds that ball up and switches play to this left-hand side where Weir is. Puts on his right foot, crosses it in towards the back post and headed. Carnell comes out for it. He doesn't get to it. And Colby Bishop is there. And that is the equaliser, Paul.
Yeah, well, it's the threat's been there for a while, hasn't it? We've not really dealt with their attacks. We've kind of allowed them to build up pressure. The passing's not been threatened, and that was a very simple ball into the box. And to the shame of our centre backs, nobody got a grip of the centre forward, and he was just allowed to nod it over Carnell from close range.
Thanks, Marv. Here are the FC Live team concluding their coverage of Saturday's game.
The referee's whistle goes for the end of the game. A final whistle, and George Thompson slaps the turf in frustration, as well he might. FC United, that would be disappointing. That was a game they would have wanted to have won against a lowly Worcester City, who finished 17th in the table last season. But it was an early, it was a goal in the 18th minute from Dale Johnson that gave FC the lead after a fine through ball from Sheridan. But Colby Bishop made the equaliser after an excellent cross from the left back. Weir, fair result. Worcester kept trying to win the game right to the end until they went down to 10 men in added time. And even at the end there, they tried to break away. But what was missing there, would you say, Paul, for FC United? What stood in the way of 3 points?
I think that they've got to look at the difference maybe between the first half and the second half, in that we showed much more urgency in the last, say, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. If we churn that through the 90, we may have got the breakthrough far quicker. Here's an interesting figure for you. We've made more than 400 passes today. Accurate, this is completed passes. That's nearly double the amount that Worcester have done, yet we've got nothing to show for it.
So the appointment of director of football of Louis van Gaal is clearly
So, you know, possession has very much been with us. We've had 65% today, but Worcester go away with a point.
Indeed, and that is, I think, is a very, very pertinent point that you raised there, because we've been critical of FC in recent seasons for pumping too many long balls forward speculatively. Certainly the plan was to keep the ball, and that is to be encouraged. Just needed, particularly towards the end, maybe just a bit of composure, that final accurate pass. Particularly disappointing at the end, where George Thompson has that free kick right at the death after sending off, and it doesn't beat the first man. That's always a disappointment, isn't it?
Yeah, we had moments, we had scrambles around the box, but we didn't manage to cash in when we had enough possession to create. And I'm sure Margie's going to look at that and say, well, you know, all that possession, but we only score once. It's not good enough at home, is it?
Certainly isn't. And to City, they'd be pleased with a point here.
Well, they had 1 point from four games before today, so they'll be very happy with a point away from home.
We're coming up to the last 4 minutes of broadcast here at Broadhurst Park today. But just to say, I spoke to Steve Wood before kick-off for This Club Is My Club, and one of the things we were talking about was those first four games were the ones we highlighted in pre-season. Those were going to be big games to identify where we were going to be. Yeah. And actually, we did all right. Not brilliantly, but we did all right in those four games. The challenge comes against teams like Worcester City, and it's looking unlikely this is going to be the case now, and lesser sides like Brackley Town, who are no longer a lesser side, it would appear, this season. Can FC get up for those games? Because in the past, notoriously, we've always struggled to get ourselves up for it. And
when we play the likes of Stockport, we seem to raise our game. We seem to be able to up the ante, don't we? But when we come up against teams near the bottom, we had that last season as well with Telford, for instance, we just don't seem to be able to get going quickly enough in the game, and then we end up chasing a game, don't we? We're either drawing or winning, drawing or losing, and all of a sudden we're searching desperately for a goal. Against the better sides, we seem to start quicker.
Yeah, it's a tight league though. Just looking at it, Halifax, as things stand, 11 points from five games, but Salford and Fylde, who have, as things stand, have 10 points each. They have a game in hand.
But next week we're on our way to Brackley. Now Brackley last season, you were there, weren't you, Paul?
Yep.
It was, I said on the podcast, it's that in the top 10 worst performances I've seen an FC side do,
yes,
it was a very poor afternoon, to be fair.
It was worse than poor.
And today they've beaten Stockport County by 4-2 at Edgeley Park. We've got to be on it next week against Brackley. We can't play like we did last season.
I seem to remember last season we were 2 goals down pretty quickly and then it all caved in. But we can't start slowly next week at Brackley.
We're going to be having the post-match thoughts of Margie on the podcast, so look out for that tomorrow evening. A big thank you to James. A big thank you to Stato Paul for joining me this afternoon here on SC Live. Brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and the Armchair Army. The show with no name is coming up next. That's a brand new one for Failsworth, so
happy listening, Filsworth. And Swampy's Red Rebel Radio is coming up at 6:30. Then a whole evening's worth of quality entertainment here on FCUM Radio. So please make sure you don't go anywhere. But the closing thoughts I'm going to leave to James Quinn. James, you've got one English minute.
I think that the league itself is finding what the levels are. You look at the results are very inconsistent. You look at Stockport, classic example of that. So it's very very difficult to conclude really who the big sides are. You would say Fylde and Salford probably with 10 points from 4 games as things stand, looking strong. But for FC, I think that it's probably about satisfactory is the way you would say. 6 points from 5 games, not quite as good as what FC would have hoped. This is the sort of game that FC want to win, really, home to a side in the bottom half of the table. But, you know, only one defeat so far in half a dozen games. FC settling themselves down better than they did last season.
Well, James, thank you for that. Thank you to StatsUpHull. You can see the highlights of this match on FCUM.TV later this evening, including the goals commentary that James did with Keg on FCM TV, so that'll be out later this evening. Look out for the podcast. We'll be back though next week, Saturday, 2:30 for a 3 o'clock kickoff at Brackley. But from everyone here at FC Live, goodbye.
Carl, thanks very much for joining us. How did it look from on high? I noticed you weren't in the dugout much today.
Second half was a lot better. I think we tried a new system with a 3-5-2 in the first half to try and force Nathan and Sam Sheridan into more forward areas, and obviously offer a bit more support to Dale up top. And it looked as though, obviously scoring a goal, it shows it's worked a little bit, but it's a system that needs a lot of work on. So having to change it, you know, and going back to a 4-3-3, I thought definitely second half it was a lot of improvement.
I mean, what caught the eye though about the style of play? I mean, FC had 65% possession today, and there was a lot of patient football that you, and that felt to me like it was contributed to the first goal, that rather than just keep hoofing speculatively, is that something you've talked about keeping the ball on the ground?
Yeah, we do, but we want to do it in better areas than we were doing. You know, it's dead easy passing the ball around when you 3 against 2 at the back, and it, you know, it's always liable that you might get sucker punched if you mm-hmm. you know, just a little bobble or a mistake or something like that. So we wanted to make sure that we, a bit of a coaching terminology, break the lines, and get Shez and Nathan into more advanced areas in between their midfield and their back four, so we could get at them. Because I think we found at the start of the season, Sam's, who's one of our players who we like to get on the ball and he loves to get on the ball, he's finding himself in 30 yards of space, but having to hit 50-yard passes, to find men. So we try to close them spaces down, force ourselves into quicker decision-making. And, I've just said to him in there, you know, it's that start of the season thing where mistakes are going to be made. You know, today we've made a mistake in conceding the goal. And it's just getting them out, you know, getting them all up to running speed. I think we saw against Salford, a team that has been back since the start of June and was full of beans. I think we were coming back from Detroit at the start of June. So the lads needed a rest after that and a month off. And, you know, they've put the work in. The pre-season, as they always are, has been hard. But we're probably up to about, you know, 85% at this moment in time, where some of the teams are possibly running at, you know, 100%. You know, you look at the Stockport match, for instance, whether that was a Friday night, the occasion, all that kind of thing. It's, you know, that was our benchmark, and I think people will be a little bit disappointed, as the lads are, and as we are, that the performance is not been terrible by any stretch of the imagination. But when you set a benchmark like we did against Stockport, then it's you want to try and maintain that. It's very, very difficult to do, but you know, the lads are out there giving their all, as we've seen. You know, and you look at where we were at this time last season, You know, it's a real positive. It's probably a game we would have lost last year at this point in time.
It's fine lines, though, isn't it? Because there were moments. I remember one right at half time when Chris Chandler got through, and there was a lovely interchange of passes. He just couldn't take the last touch, and there was a few moments where there was some nice play, but it was just that lack of not getting the rub of the green sometimes as well.
That final pass, the weight of the pass, you see different things, and it's all just fine tuning. It's all it is fine tuning. So it becomes more natural to the lads when they're actually out there performing.
What about the defence after a bit of a horror show on the first day from both teams that day, has solidified, but to our eye it got a bit looser at times. There was immediately after FC scored, Steele had an absolute open goal which he should have scored with. Did you feel that there was a slightly backward step from the centre backs today?
Yeah, we spoke about that. The great thing about our lads is you always get a load of honesty, and every single one of them in there to a man knows that they can play better, and they're G'ing each other up. You know, obviously we do our bits with the tactical little bits and bobs that we need to discuss with them, you know, because the scouting report that we got from Halifax, where we watched them at Halifax, was a bit different to how they came out and performed today. Now that's personnel changes and things like that in there, so it's something that we tried to get people in the right areas to cause them problems. And in the first half, it happened a few times, obviously, with a great goal that we've scored, but we need to do it more often. And like I say, that'll come with time on the pitch and just the players being together.
Apart from his skills as a footballer, how much does the team miss Jerome as a leader, as you know, the FC through and through, really get a rocket up people's backsides when it's needed?
Well, he really gives us an extra dimension to our play, obviously, with his pace in wide areas and his industry. I wouldn't put that down to how much we miss him, because as captain, he still makes himself, gets himself involved as much as he can. You know, he's in there cajoling the lads. He was out doing the warm-up on Tuesday night. He was out doing the warm-up today. So he wants to stay around it. He wants to make sure that the lads are in the right frame of mind, as we all do, to go out and do the best. You know, it'd be, obviously, it's a fact that sometimes you're going to have injuries within the games or within the squad. So, but I'm happy with the squad that we've assembled. And
exactly what I was going to come on to, because most teams we're playing against have got like 6-7 new names, quite experienced players. You've made obviously a lot of changes at the beginning of the year. The young lads are getting quite a shake here with Nathan Lowe starting and looking pretty composed. Have you pretty much made a decision that you're going to go with what you've got, that you're not looking to make to bring two or three more in at this stage?
I'm not. I think it's time that we've got the squad settled down. You know, it's one of them things, and it's part of the way that I've always done it, and part of the things, you know, when FC United was first formed, that we didn't have a revolving door policy on players. It's important that supporters kind of get a bit of a rapport with the players. It's part of what we are, and that's one of the reasons. They wouldn't be in the squad if they couldn't play. They wouldn't be.
You're not concerned that if we do get three or four injuries, that we'll be the FC will be a bit thin on the ground in terms of depth?
No, I don't. You know, there's other things that are going on behind the scenes. Obviously, Zach Corbett, still he's suspended. Still, we've got Kasimba, who's did great last night in the reserves. Harry Pratt, who's ill today. So there is that strength in depth. Yes, they are younger boys, but we've got a lot of experience in there as well. So
what's this with Rory Fallon? Has he got very long term?
Yeah, he had. I think he's getting the results of his scan this week. He had a minor setback that needed to be investigated. So he got another scan, and it's just a case of seeing as and when.
And finally, Carl, you for the first time you've now got your full training week. There's no midweek game. Yep. What what would be the main things you'd want to concentrate on?
Well, we'll have a look at, we'll get a report about Brackley, so there might be some things. What we tend to do, rather than going, because we've only got the lads for 4 hours maximum, you know, rather than overloading them with shape and play and things like that, you know, at the end of the day, they shouldn't be playing at football at this level if they don't understand, you know, how to play in a certain formation. And our lads do, so they don't need work on that. There will be some sharpening up and looking to probably do some phases of play interchanging around the 18-yard box and looking to get that part of our play even more sharper. Defensively, I think we can get tighter and be a bit more physical, which... our physicality always tends to lead up to bookings. You know, I think Scott Kay made one tackle in the first half and got booked. They're number 8 and number 10's kicking lumps out of everyone, and he's allowed 3, 4, 5 tackles before he even gets a card kind of thing. So that's a bit frustrating at times, because, you know, as my role and looking at what I'm measured on, you know, the discipline side of it is something that's important. You know, I've got to say we've improved from last year, because I think we'd have 3 red cards by this time.
Indeed.
So, you know, that ill discipline has gone. Players who are here, who are caught up in that, have now learnt from that, and I think they're just more comfortable as a group. The fact that you go in there and they're disappointed, you know, with a 1-1 draw, is testament to what they know they can achieve. So it's our job to make sure that we give them the right encouragement at the right times for them to go and do that.
Just a quick question on Sam Maidley. Whenever we take a photograph of a team sheet, you see, we get about 5 to 10 tweets going, "Where's Sam Maidley?" So just a quick update on Sam.
He's still been doing his extra training at Macclesfield and training with us on a Tuesday and a Thursday. You know, he was involved at Salford the other night. I think he's still a little bit short, if I'm being honest. And he's, at this moment in time, there's just better options within the squad. You know, I think if you look at a real positive and bright spark, and we'll try and keep it quiet, but it won't take too long, is Kieran Glynn again. His invention is... for such a young player, his understanding of the game, and, you know, I went and watched him last night at Buxton in the reserve team game up there, and it's
just going off on a tangent. We picked this up in the season review. The reserves normally play their matches on a Saturday, and obviously they played Buxton last night, and they play their reserve matches on a Friday. Do you think it'd be beneficial for the club to adopt Friday night for the reserves, just to give you more options on a Saturday? Just going off on a tangent there.
I don't know what the reasons are for it. It must be a pitch availability or something like that. Yeah, it'd help.
But it's our ground now, so we can make the rules up. So
yeah.
Well, Stroke Moston Juniors.
But I think I don't know what it's used for on a Friday evening. But
that's an idea that might be
definite. And
what,
for that, Ben.
No problem. My pleasure. It's all for substitute goalkeepers more than anything. and lastly, when it comes to Brackley, last season Brackley away was horrible.
Yeah.
Right. Brackley today have gone to Edgeley Park and thumped Stockport County. So we've got to be on it. How are you going to get the players all G'd
up?
Well,
I think it's a totally different situation. Last season, we've just secured the services of George Thompson fully. Everybody was in a buoyant mood. I think we'd had a decent result somewhere, and everyone was thinking, right, we're going to kick on now. Brackley were down the bottom, and we went there and...
Can't do that this
time. We were poor, no. And we won't, you know, the personnel's changed from that game, and the mentality of the whole squad has changed. But it's going to be an unbelievably different game, a difficult game, sorry, because of where they're situated at the moment in time. You know, I think they've recruited the majority, if I'm not mistaken, it was a majority of Tamworth's team. If my information's right, so it'll be a totally different game. You know, we probably went down there and thought we'd turn up and win, and got a very, very sharp reminder that you can't do that at this level in any single game of football. You know, Worcester will take points off of lots of people, not just ourselves. You know, I spoke to the manager and they're down where they are for, because of a couple of individual errors and things like that. But as we saw last year, and the league's got a lot harder, last year, you know, you'd have to get towards 50 points to be safe, and that's pretty unheard of.
But you always should remind them, I'm sure you would, that night in the Midlands, 1-0 at Solihull Moors, the runaway champions, and at the time, I think FC very close to the bottom, and we played brilliantly, won the game 2-1, I think it was.
Yeah, 2-1 in the end. It's you know, that was the majority of the squad that we've got here now, and you know, it is work in progress as always. There's always room for improvement, and we're fully aware of that. And the players, it's great when you walk into a dressing room and the players themselves know that they can do better. It doesn't take me to, you know, that shows you've got an honest bunch, and I think that's what one of the things that we see out on the pitch. You know, there will be mistakes made, but they're honest mistakes. At the end of the day, this isn't Champions League, it isn't Premier League, it's the Northern Conference,
National League
North Conference, whatever. Van Aran,
get the club in trouble. Come on, Carl.
Yeah, well.
So, finally, Carl, just overall, 6 points from 5 games, 13th in the table, only one defeat. That for you would be, would you say satisfactory, or?
I'd say satisfactory. The fact that some, you know, we're a little disappointed in a couple of the results, speaks volumes about the mentality of the club and the team and the squad itself. You know, that's. You know, we looked at the start of the season and everyone was saying what an unbelievably difficult start that was, you know, and it's proved to be the case, but it's not going to get any easier, and we've got to make sure that our eyes are wide open to that fact, and that we, you know, we can go and compete in every game, and there will be losses, there will be wins, and hopefully the majority will be more about smiling faces and playing good football, because, you know, definitely in the second half today, I thought we played some decent stuff, especially when we got them to retreat into their defensive third. And on another day, you know, how many times have we seen George pile driver one of them volleys in, or you know, one of the ones that slipped across the box, somebody gets on the end of. You know, it's all part of sharpening.
Yeah, Carl, thank you so much for joining us after the game. It's really, really interesting. To have your thoughts. I know the listeners would really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. To hear now where that result leaves FC United in the league, and for all the other scores from a busy Saturday afternoon in the National League North, it's now time to hand back over to Marv Willers for his week's edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and welcome everyone to this week's special Marv Sports Report with me, Special Marv. And that 1-1 draw for FC has seen the club drop one place to 13th in the table. Unlucky for some, however, elsewhere, FC Halifax Town looked determined to make a rapid return to back to the conference this week, recording a 4-0 win at the Shea against Tamworth to sit top of the league. The Shaymen's Yorkshire rivals, Harrogate Town, joined them on 11 points after winning the derby at the Horsfall Stadium against Bradford Park Avenue, also known as BPA, by 3-2. AFC Fylde, Chorley and newcomers Salford City, that's SC, all remain unbeaten after Saturday's games with Darlington and GC, Gloucester City. The Coasters were involved in an 8-goal thriller at the Impact Arena against Alfreton Town, finishing 5-3 to F. Fylde. Nuneaton Town, NT, are still looking for a first win of the new season after they suffered a 1-0 defeat to Salford at Liberty Way. Like Nuneaton, Boston United, BU, are finding it tough going at the start of the new season and were beaten for the fourth time in 5 games by Chorley at Victory Park. Gainsborough Trinity, however, are finally off the mark after 3 defeats and a draw. They won 2-0 at Northolme against an Altrincham side yet to record a win this season. While BT recorded a fine 4-2 win at EP against SC in front of another fine crowd of 2,529. That's Brackley Town winning there. 10-man Kidderminster Harriers recorded their first home win of the season in a nervy affair against Stalybridge Celtic at Agborough. And finally, AFC Telford United came from behind to earn a point at the Tameside Stadium against Curzon Ashton. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report, the MSR with me, Marv. Stay safe and beautiful, Manchester, and whatever happens, good night and good luck.
Thanks, Marv. FC United are back in action twice this coming weekend, and FC Live will be at both these matches, with FCUM Radio broadcasting live from 2:30pm from both games. Firstly, on Saturday, Carl Margeson's side travels south to take on Brackley Town. This match is pay on the gate, and the address for the ground is St James Park, Churchill Way, Brackley, Northamptonshire, NN13 7EJ. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3pm. That's St James Park, NN13 7EJ. Then on Bank Holiday Monday, it's back to Broadhurst Park for FC as Darlington will be the visitors. Kick-off on Monday will be at 3pm. This match is one of those all-ticket occasions, and as we mentioned earlier, tickets for this match are now on sale to FC United members and season ticket holders, who can now buy up to 4 tickets online, by phone or in person at Broadhurst Park. Non-members can also buy 4 tickets, but only in person from the club office. This home match for FC has also been designated as a Memories match, as FC United team up with the Sporting Memories Network. For more on this, Ben caught up with the Sporting Memories Network this past week.
So, as well as tickets being an important thing about the Darlington match taking place on Bank Holiday Monday in August, it's also been designated a Memories match. And joining me now from the Sporting Memories Network, we're joined by project coordinator, it's Jason White. Hello, Jason, how are you?
Well, very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. So, the Darlington match, FC United against Darlington at Broadhurst, it's been designated as a Memories match. What does that entail?
Well, it's about a number of issues, really. Number one, it's about promoting a new event that will be starting at FC United on Friday, the 2nd of September, which is the new Sporting Memories Reminiscence Group that will be starting. And this is aimed at older sports fans, really. And it's an opportunity for older sports fans in the community to come together and talk about their sporting memories, essentially. So we'll be launching that, as well as also promoting and raising awareness, really, around some of the challenges that face the older community, one of which being around dementia.
Now, I've heard of this before. There was a football match, I think it was Exeter, where the idea was, with people with dementia, it's all about giving them a sporting memory, essentially. It rekindles memories of going to the match and that kind of thing. And it's very beneficial, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And, you know, there's an amazing video on our website, which if I can plug now, which is www.sportingmemoriesnetwork.com. Now, that video, which I'm sure plenty of Reds would also be interested in looking at as well, is a fascinating video. It's a story of a chap by the name of Bill, who was attending one of our groups in Scotland. Now, Bill had advanced stages of dementia and was being brought to the session by his carer. Bill was in a permanent sort of state of sort of confusion, anxiety, etc. You know, the situation was quite difficult for him, and he wasn't really engaging. But then, through some of the photos that were available at that event, he started to talk about some of these footballers and started to say that he'd actually played with some of them. So we started to do some digging around, and I believe there wasn't much of a family network. And this story just unraveled, and it turned out that Bill actually played for Celtic, and then the Second World War came along. But there was a match, and he actually played for Scotland against England in 1942. And alongside him that day, to the left was Sir Matt Busby, and to the right was Bill Shankly. Now, that's a really important story. For one, it's an amazing story. But secondly, Bill, because of his condition, wasn't really aware of that until something triggered those memories. And then Bill was able to actually talk about himself and his own experiences. And by doing that, it gave him his confidence and he found his identity again. And that's the point. Sport has that ability to, it just resonates, and particularly amongst older men, which is predominantly the profile of individuals that attend our sessions. They're not all men, but typically men have a long association with sport. It's an essential part of their identity, and the memories just tend to stick around, really. So this was an amazing story. The video is on our website, and it's just a good illustration of how sport can really engage. And in fact, I had another story recently. Someone who's working on this project in Manchester took her father to the swimming baths, which was great. And he put his swimming trunks on. And again, this gentleman is elderly and has a long term condition. But just the act of wearing his swimming trunks, it prompted him to say, will they fall down when I dive in? Now, if you'd met this gentleman, you'd appreciate that diving in is not going to happen. But just the process of actually being geared up for sport actually produced this really positive response. And again, it was just an illustration of what a positive thing sport can be for people of all ages, but particularly for older people, which is where our work is primarily focused.
When it comes to this match against Darlington, what's going to be happening on the day?
Well, there's a couple of things, really. I think, number one, we're obviously looking to promote the session. Secondly, we'll also be asking people to, you know, contribute their favourite sporting memories. And then I suppose, thirdly, it's just about raising awareness so that, you know, people may want to come along themselves, or they may know someone in their community who, you know, for one reason or another might appreciate coming to the session, or also someone who may have become more isolated as they've got older. Because, you know, you've got to remember, for a lot of men, you know, their social connections tend to be linked to their work or their sport, their leisure pursuits. And as and when those stop, then their social connections can obviously be impacted as well. So it may be that this resonates with some of the fans who may well know someone as well. So really just about that, and also raising awareness around dementia as well.
Yes, absolutely. So Friday, the 2nd of September, that's the start date for this, after this match at Broadhurst Park. What time and how can people get involved?
Well, it starts at 1:30 and will last for about an hour and a half. And if people would like to get involved, well, they can come along. But also an essential part of what we are doing as an organisation is working with organisations to deliver this. Now, an essential part of this is around recruiting volunteers. So if anybody is quite interested in this concept and could potentially spare a couple of hours to support FC United of Manchester to deliver this, we offer free training, and the training is actually delivered with the National Football Museum, who we're working with as part of their Memories of 66 exhibition. So you get an opportunity to visit the museum if you've not done so yet. And they can contact me. They can, if it's okay for me to give out my contact details.
Yes.
You can reach me in a variety of ways, really. We're on Twitter, which is at @SMN_Manchester. You can also search for us on Facebook, so SMN Manchester. Or you can email me at jason.white@sportingmemoriesnetwork.com. There is a telephone number as well, which is 07514698879.
And of course, don't forget the website, www.sportingmemoriesnetwork.com. Well, wish you all the best of luck for the Darlington match. That one's going to be a cracking afternoon anyway, to begin with. Very loud, very raucous. And obviously, we also wish you luck for the event taking place at Broadhurst Park on Friday, the 2nd of September. We'll be plugging it on the radio, of course, and of course, through the club's website. So Jason White from the Sporting Memories Network, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear this show on a Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time.